Amen. Amen. Well, today for our message, you have the privilege, we all have the privilege of hearing from our student ministry team. So I want to invite them up to the platform. And would you welcome them today? So great to have them here. And today we're going to talk about how Scripture can be the anchor for our lives. I want you to think about an anchor. Picture an anchor in your mind. I remember a few years ago, I was on a boat, just a small little fishing boat, and we were, just a few of us were there, and we were in the bay, and so the water was not that deep, but I remember we dropped our lines in, and I'm not a professional or experienced fisherman at all, but I was like, I'm just gonna try and catch something, and I didn't that day, in case you're wondering, but I was dropping my line in and I was looking and I could not believe how much you drifted in only a few minutes. And I didn't even realize, because I saw the land, I was looking down, all of a sudden we're like a lot further from the land than where we were. And that's the power of an anchor. Really, an anchor has two primary purposes for existing. One is to hold you, keep you from drifting. And the second one is to hold you in a storm. And why don't you think about Scripture, how the Word of God and the Spirit of God can anchor us no matter what we go through in life, through the highs and lows, mountains and valleys of life, and how an anchor will hold you. And so as you know, it's December 31st, as we reflect on this past year and look forward to this coming year, I just love that we were able to gather together today. And for me, so many times I've tried to choose a verse at the beginning of a year, a new year, think this is going to be my anchor verse for this year. But so often I get to the middle or the end of the year and I look back and I think, man, that was not the verse. This was the verse that held me. Because as you go through a year, there's a lot of things that are unexpected. And God knows what you need for whatever you're going to face today in this coming year. So my encouragement to you, to all of us today, is to take a moment to think back. What were the scriptures that held you this past year? Maybe there was one scripture that held you, because that hindsight will give you insight. And then how can that produce faith as we approach a new year? So I want to introduce you to our student ministry team, and then they're going to share today. All the way on to my right is Heather Bivens. She serves as our connections pastor here, and she also oversees our Count Me In, which is joining to become a member at Worship Center. So if you've become a member recently, you probably got to know her. She also served in student ministry for 10 plus years, has the battle scars to prove it. And so she oversees this whole team. It's great to have her here. Next to her is Joy Landis. She oversees our Route 56, which is all of our fifth and sixth graders. And they meet on Sunday morning. So next to her is Shelby Mellon. She oversees all of our seventh and eighth graders in our Converge middle school. And then next to her is Cooper Miller, and he is our high school pastor, and he oversees all of our high schoolers, 9 through 12. And so together they formed our student ministry team. Would you welcome them today? It is great to have you here. And so what I've asked them to do is to share their anchor scripture for 2023 and an experience, circumstance, a challenge that they've walked through and how this scripture has held them. So Heather, why don't you get us started?
Hey, good morning, everyone. When Pastor Matt, last service, he talked about my battle scars, and I'm like, are they visible? I don't know. You can tell me later. Hey, I have had the privilege of being involved here at Worship Center, mostly in student ministry, since about 2006. My husband, Beau, and I moved to Pennsylvania from California in 2005. We had little tiny kids. Now we have young adults and teenagers, and our kids have grown up here. We sometimes say that we have grown up here a lot in the last 20 years, almost 20 years. It's been awesome. So, I am an extreme optimist who was raised by an extreme optimist. That means there are no bad days. When I was a kid, we could not complain about bad service or if someone was mean to us, because my dad, my sweet dad Ted, he would say, this is a quote, "Guys, you do not know if this is the worst day of someone's life, and we're not going to make their worst day worse." It's like, okay. So we couldn't complain about having a bad day or going through a hard time, because he would say this, "Guys, you can always think of somebody who's going through a time that's harder, and we have so much to be thankful for, so we're not going to think about that stuff." And that makes a ton of sense to me. So a couple of things have resulted from that. One is I've had a pretty easy breezy life. I do not let that much bother me. The other is this. I've had a pretty hard time realizing that sometimes life is not easy breezy. There are really hard things, and sometimes it does bother me, and that's okay. So when I think back over the last several years, a verse that has been so dear to me is in Hebrews. It's Hebrews 12, 28, and it says this. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. I often remember this quote from James Bryan Smith. He says this, I am one in whom Christ dwells and delights. I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. The kingdom is not in trouble, and neither am I. It's a good reminder to me that the unshakableness of God's kingdom is not dependent on me. He is in control. I can choose to fight that, or I can choose to rest in that. This year, my family has gone through some really hard times. Yours probably has too. That's kind of how life goes, right? My dad has been very, very sick, and he's had a laundry list of different tough medical situations. And one of the things that really became clear to me is I actually can do basically nothing to change it. I can't. There's no way that I can be optimistic or silver line or happy day my way out of the circumstances. And that's been good for me because sometimes I can almost be a little bit like high and mighty, like, look at me, not even being bothered by stuff. That's not helpful for anyone. And that is not what God requires of us. Again, when I've been thinking about Hebrews 12, that chapter is about listening to God, not just hearing, but doing what he says. And this has become more apparent to me. This is what it says. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. That let us be thankful. That part has stood out. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. This year, I have been challenged to be thankful in times that have felt very shaky. Maybe you have too. The Bible says that we are to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that we are supposed to be thankful in all times, or what's it say, give thanks in all times. It's like, what does that even mean? I read this. I wish I would have written down who said it. It wasn't me. It was somebody on the internet who's really smart. And they said this. To bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving means to sacrifice our understanding of what is beneficial and thank God for everything because he is benevolent. A sacrifice is not easy. It is sacred. Here's my understanding of what is beneficial. The sick people, they all get better. The bad guys, they become good guys. The bullies, they say sorry and knock it off. School is easy and our team wins. My understanding of what is beneficial is there's no bad days. But I think about if that was actually reality. Would I understand my deep need for God? Would I know what it's like to be comforted by the Holy Spirit? I don't know. When I think of this past year, I'm really thankful. I'm thankful for peace that is not dependent on my ability to see the bright side or give a silver lining. I'm thankful that in this past year, not one time have I been left alone. Neither have you. God has been with me. And I'm thankful, ultimately, that we can trust in a good God. Pastor Matt asked us to share something we learned this year. And I don't know if I've learned anything. I think God's been teaching me things. I don't know when you announce you've learned something. But I want to continue to learn that more, to trust our good God. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Joy Landis. My parents are Roy and Holly, and I have four siblings, Faith, Joe, Matt, and Josh. I like to joke that I have been at Worship Center since before I was born, because this has been my family's church since then. I've grown up here and decided to make Worship Center my home church, and I'm still doing a lot of growing up here. The past few years, one of my prayers was that I would know who my friends are, and not just like any friends that you talk to and have jokes, but like my close people who I can talk to, who I can talk through things with, that the Lord would place those people in my life and show me who they are. And he has graciously answered that prayer. I'm thankful for the living room, the young adult ministry here. I've met a few of my very closest friends there, And being part of small groups has connected with me with people who are in similar walks of life as me. And I also am thankful for the class here called Dating on Purpose. I got to take that, and I get to date a fine young man who is very kind. And in that, that started a lot of conversations that are sometimes hard, and just like figuring out how to live with those people who are closest to me. It can bring out, maybe you know, those people who are close to you, that can bring out like the best in you and the worst. And this year has felt like it has brought out a lot of the worst in me. Times when I mess up, when I treat people how I shouldn't, when there's sin in my life, it has been like at the forefront of my just like perspective this year. But I've also been encouraged by this scripture that kind of paints an image of Christ. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. But it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne." And this passage paints this picture of our almighty, powerful God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, and also how he came as a lamb who was slaughtered. A lamb who is humble and gentle at heart. And so when we mess up and fall short again and again and again, I'm reminded of the humility and the gentleness of our Savior toward us.
Good morning. My name is Shelby, and I have been on staff here for about 2 years. I've been a part of Worship Center since 2019 when I moved to Lancaster. Worship Center was a big part of that, being a part of this church. Which is a story for another day. But my husband also works on staff here, which is really fun. We get to drive to work together, and we get to be in ministry together, which is really fun. 2023 was a really big year for our family. We welcomed our first child in the spring. And so we've been experiencing a lot of joy, as well as challenges and adjustments that come with the first year of parenting. I love being Benjamin's mom. And I'm grateful every day that the Lord has entrusted him to us. He's a really happy baby. He's really social, and he loves coming to church because it means there's lots of people to smile at and to try to hold him and to squeeze his cute little cheeks. He's a bundle of joy. And because of him, I have come to understand God's love in a different way. I see God's goodness and his love in my son. It's hard to put into words. It's like a special kind of love that I've gotten to experience this year. I felt God's love and peace this year through pregnancy, through birth, through becoming a mom, and as life has kept spinning outside of motherhood and marriage and ministry. Over the last few months, our son has struggled to sleep at night. He's been getting teeth since he was like 3 months old, and so he wakes up a lot in pain. And sometimes when he wakes up, it's really difficult for him to settle again. We've explored different options and methods and ideas, but sometimes he just wakes up and he needs mom or dad. think that so far, the middle of the night has been the hardest time for me to parent because I'm not fully awake or alert. I'm definitely not at my best. My eyes are burning. I can barely keep them open. And there is this tiny human who needs me. When he started struggling with sleep, we had a really difficult time praying for him at bedtime. Honestly, it was difficult for us to think past the next couple of hours, for us to pray anything more than help him to sleep tonight, help him to wake up happy, help him to get 4 hours of sleep in a row. We needed something else, something that was more concrete, something that was grounded in truth, that didn't rely on us or our circumstances. So we started to pray Psalm 23 over Benjamin before bed. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." We pray this because we want Benny to grow up to be brave and strong and wise and satisfied in the Lord. We want him to grow up knowing that God is with him when he's afraid, when he feels alone, or when he's facing opposition. We want him to know that God's love is surrounding him always, and that God will fulfill every single one of his needs. And we pray that he walks with the Lord every single day of his life. We didn't see a change in his sleep when we started praying this, but I did see a change in myself. I've experienced God's care for me in the middle of 2, 3, 4 a.m. wake-ups. I have been filled with peace over my role as Benjamin's mom. I've experienced God providing for us and protecting our family in more ways than we have time to talk about today. I've been blessed abundantly with community here at Worship Center, through staff, small groups, and our volunteers at Converge. I've experienced a different kind of rest and strength, not one that comes from getting a full night's sleep, maybe one day, but one that comes from this deep well of spiritual renewal. I've felt his presence with me so tangibly, and Psalm 23 has been what's kept my eyes open to how he's working on me, on my behalf, and in me in this season. I'm thankful that when words fall short, we have scripture to fall back on. I'm thankful that I can trust in the Lord to provide for every single need, my emotional needs, my physical needs, my mental needs, and my spiritual needs. He cares for us deeply, and if we let it, his word echoes in our heart at just the moment that we need it. David wrote this psalm because this is what he knew. He knew about being a good shepherd and that a good shepherd provides for and guides and protects his flock. He knew that the flock could rest when they trusted that their shepherd was there watching out for them and giving them what they needed. I found these words comforting in my own life, in motherhood, and beyond. I had actually picked a different verse this year. I didn't plan on Psalm 23 being my anchor verse, but God obviously knew that this is what I needed in this season. And so I want to encourage you, if you're facing a season of exhaustion or darkness, or you just don't know what to pray for, God sees you. He is your shepherd. He's watching out for you. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cooper, and I have been at Worship Center for about 3 months. So I am totally brand new. I'm the new guy up here. If you are also new, you're in good company. I honestly, I hope that you feel as welcomed and as at home here as our family has since we started, because we really love Worship Center. So a little bit about me. I am married to my wonderful wife. Her name is Emily, and we have three little ones. We have got a six-year-old named Eloise, a four-year-old named Lucy, and a little guy, one-and-a-half-year-old named Max. They are awesome, and we love them so much. I want to share, you know, 2023 for us, it feels like it went so fast. I can't believe that today's New Year's Eve, but also it feels like it took forever. And I think a piece of that is just because we experienced so many new things this year, my family did. And I want to share two new things that we experienced that also brought along with it a lot of fear for us, a lot of questions. The first one has to do with our oldest child, Eloise. So it was probably back in April. She started complaining that her belly was hurting and she wasn't feeling well. And we were seeing some other symptoms of stuff too. This lasted for a little bit and we ended up deciding we should go get her checked out and figure out what's going on. After probably a month or so of tests and other things, ended up finding out that she has celiac disease, which if you are unaware of what celiac is, it is an autoimmune disease that essentially, I'm not a doctor, so I'm sure someone will correct me on this, but essentially what it does is it attacks your intestines or the lining of your intestines. And without treating it, it can go on to lead to other autoimmune diseases and also significantly increase your chance for cancer later on. And also you experience the symptoms that she was experiencing. There is treatment for it, and that is by completely removing gluten from your diet. And that's not just like you can go and eat gluten-free pizza. It's like you can't have any cross-contamination of gluten at all. So through this whole process for Emily and I and our family, there was a lot of fear surrounding it. Through the process of finding out what was going on, we just wanted to make sure that our kid was safe. And now that we know what's going on, while we're incredibly thankful that we know what to do now, it's still scary. How do we cook gluten-free food? And what do we get from the grocery store? How do we eat at restaurants? I have a 1.5-year-old that literally picks up gluten and throws it around the house 24/7. Like, how do I make sure that Eloise is safe? So that brought a lot of fear for our family this year. And the second thing that is new, is a little more obvious, is I switched jobs. I got a new career and I jumped back into ministry. A little bit, very quick history. Before we moved out to Pennsylvania, primarily to be closer to family, we were in California, and I did ministry out there for almost 12 years. And so for the past 3 years, I've been working from home, had an incredibly flexible schedule, got a lot of time with my family, and honestly, it was a really good gig. And so when God called us in to potentially pray about jumping into ministry again, we were immediately met with fears and questions. But God has been so good in all of that. And obviously, we jumped in it and we're here and we're so thankful that we're here. The verse that we really rested in this year, in the midst of all of these questions and all of these new things, was Psalms 56. It says this, verse 3. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? The reason that we love this verse is because at the beginning it says, when I am afraid. I feel like a lot of times when the Bible talks about fear, it says, do not be afraid. And here's the thing, I know that. I know with my faith I don't have to fear. But the problem is that I'm human, so what do I do when I fear? And so we've really rested in this verse of when we fear, we can have trust in Jesus. And so if I were to sum up 2023 for us, it's that God led us through some difficult things that were scary. God led us to saying yes to things that were so good, but in the midst of saying that yes, it was scary. And I think that what we landed on is that my faith is not the absence of fear. It's trusting the Lord's promises over my stuff and my problems and my challenges. So
that's so good. Thank you.
You know, you may not know that this, if you don't have students, every week hundreds of students come to our building on Sunday morning. Fifth and sixth graders meet there. On Wednesday nights, 7th through 12th meet there. And these individuals, they pour their life into these young people to help them to know Jesus, to grow together in community, and then learn what it is to serve our world. And so I'm just so grateful for each of you for pouring into our students, but also recognize you have a life outside of student ministry. And so it's really good to hear how you're walking out, making the scripture your anchor. For me, and how I'd like to wrap this up, I want to share 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This has been a scripture for me looking back over this year that has held me and kept me and anchored me. And I've read this scripture before, and I've always read it from the standpoint of, like, just dream bigger. And, you know, God's created you to with visions and dreams, so you need to keep dreaming bigger. I think there's some truth to that about this scripture. But I like to read it and share how it's held me. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. The Apostle Paul's writing this, and he's referring back to something that Isaiah the prophet wrote. So he says, that's what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Think about the human mind. I mean, the human mind, what has been imagined, even in my short life, what humans have dreamed of and created and imagined is amazing. The mind is a creative force. But even our most brilliant minds can't fully comprehend what God has prepared for those who love him. The things that we see with our eyes and hear with our ears, what we listen to, what we give our attention to, we still can't fully comprehend and understand what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's why we need to trust in God, and that's also why we need his Holy Spirit to reveal his plan and purposes for our lives. And so I think about this scripture going into a new year. There's plans that I might have in my mind. There's thoughts that I might have, but I never want to settle on my own thoughts. I want to remember that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has understood, imagined, comprehended what God has prepared for those who love him. And maybe that's an anchor that you need going into this year. So as you've heard these stories, my encouragement to us today is to first take a moment to think back over your last year. Maybe there's a scripture that held you. Reflect on that even now. What has held you through what the highs and lows of 2023? And the reason I think it's important to reflect on that is because that's what builds faith. If God has walked with you through the highs and lows of life in the past, he will not let you down. He'll walk with you this coming year. And it may be tempting to choose an anchor scripture. What I would encourage you to start this year is hold on to the anchor scripture that held you this past year, and then keep reading scripture every day. Because when you get into God's word on a regular basis, the Spirit of God brings that word to life in your life. And it will hold you. It will keep you from drifting. And it will hold you in a storm. And so I want to invite you to stand. And I would love for us as a church to make a commitment as we're preparing to step into a new year. Make a commitment to God's word. Reading it every day. And I've just asked our team to pray for us. So let's pray. Let's join in prayer together.
Thank you so much that we have your word, that we don't have to guess or wonder or try and figure out what you want, but we have your word to guide us. We have your Holy Spirit to help us understand your word. God, thank you for that. God, thank you that you are steady, that you're strong. Your kingdom cannot be shaken. God, thank you that we can trust in you. We can trust in that. God, I pray that you would build that trust in us more this year. In Jesus' name.
God, thank you that you are with us. Thank you for your word and that we can continue to learn from it, even if it's the same passage over and over. God, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of those who wrote down your words years ago. God, I ask that you would fill your people with a desire and an excitement to hear from you, to learn from Scripture. God, thank you for your guidance in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you that when we open your word, you meet us there. God, if we have 3 minutes a day or if we have an hour a day, you still meet us in your word. God, I thank you that when we are running on empty, when we're tired, when we're not sure what to do, when we don't know what the next step is, Lord, I thank you that you guide us, that you reveal your truth to us. Lord, I pray that this year as we look at your word, that we would treasure it in our hearts, Lord, that we would write it in our minds, Lord, that it would become that echo in our life that we need. And so, Lord, I thank you that what you have said is true. It was true then, and it is true now. Lord, we thank you that you are never changing, that your word is true, and it lasts. Amen.
Jesus, God, it is New Year's Eve. It is the last day of the year. And God, I just pray for me personally, I always feel this pressure to make resolutions or like kick off the year well. God, I pray before we jump into that we can look back on the past year and look at what you've done, the goodness that you've done for us. Lord, in the midst of all of the fear for me this year, you have been so faithful. And God, I pray for anyone that is sitting in this room right now, Lord, that is walking through fear, walking through a situation that is scary. God, may they trust in your plans because they are so good.
So God, as a church, we commit to building our lives on your word. Lord, I pray that we would make it a priority in our lives to read it, to meditate on it, and to share it with others. We thank you for your faithfulness over this past year. We thank you for how you worked. God, we thank you for how you held many people. And we thank you for the promise that no matter what we go through, that you are with us. You never leave, you never forsake. So God, I pray for courage to follow your word and to obey. I pray for new understanding. I pray for those that need clarity and direction that you would make their path clear. God, I pray for humility, that we would approach your word with a teachable heart. And I thank you for this community that as we grow together, you've designed us to be that way. So I pray that we would take a step to build relationships, not neglect meeting together, but make a commitment to continue growing together in relationship with other people. And God, we also commit to using what you've given us to be a blessing to other people, to be a source of blessing. And we commit all of that to you in Jesus' name. And if you're in agreement with that, would you say amen? Amen.